Good morning. Welcome you to our worship service this morning. Today is Missions Day, and we have been blessed already. Emerson and Ivy Wu have presented their ministry in China with us this morning, and we had a wonderful time with them. And later on in our worship, Sarah McCurdy, who serves in Costa Rica, will be sharing with us, and we look forward to that time of sharing. The only announcement that I'm going to make this morning is that when we are finished worshiping, we are going to eat. And there's plenty of food, and everyone is invited, and we hope that you will stay with us. Shall we stand and sing? It is hymn number 483, not 38. We've a story to tell to the nations.
Thank you.
Shall we pray? Dear God, we pray that you would be with us during this hour, that you would accept our thanksgiving and our praise, that you would speak to us through the words sung and spoken, that you would lift up our hearts and inspire us, that you would give us guidance and wisdom as we depart into the world to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said before, Ivy and Emerson Wu had the opportunity to share with us in the Sunday School Hour. Ivy is going to come and read Scripture for us now.
The scripture reading comes from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1 through 9. It's on page 559. The plans of the mind belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for his purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Everyone who is arrogant is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. But loyalty and faithfulness in quitting iniquity is atoned for, and for the fears of the Lord a man avoids evil. When a man's way please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great reckoning with injustice. A man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps.
Let us stand and sing number 318, Trust and Obey.
Thank you.
seated. I'll ask the ushers to come forward at this time. We have the opportunity now to give an offering. And the main purpose of this offering is a love offering to help the missionaries that have been sharing with us today. There are some of you who may want to designate to one or the other, or some members of First Baptist who might be giving your regular offering. Please do designate that. All the undesignated offerings will go to the missionaries. Shall we pray? Lord, you have richly blessed us, and we are thankful. And it is out of those blessings that we give. We pray that you would make our hearts generous, and that the offerings that we give would support the ministries of the Woos and of the McCurdys, that the offerings that we give would support the work of your church in the world, and we pray a blessing upon it. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to invite
Randy Gardner to lead us in a prayer for the missionaries. This is Randy from Central Community Baptist Church.
Call them to serve as missionaries in these
Now we have members from both of our churches to sing for us this morning.
May everyone all bow to the light.
At this time, I'll invite Sarah to come and share with us what she has on her heart and mind to bring.
Good morning. It is a joy and it is a blessing to be here today with all of you and to share this mission morning with my colleagues, Emerson and Ivy Wu. My husband Peter and I, we serve in Costa Rica as missionaries, and then my husband also extends his ministry into Cuba as well. He's going to start going beginning next year, once or twice a year, perhaps three times a year, depending on the need of the work in Cuba, and he will be working with the Baptist Cubans in the eastern part of Cuba. You can connect with us if you are on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. It is titled UNO Missions, U-N-O, and then Missions. What that means is, in Spanish, UNO means one. And so for us, it has a double meaning. UNO Missions, there's one mission, there's one God. And it also means the capital letters there, Anyways, we'll just stick with my first meaning because I am not remembering, because it does mean something, and it's something along the lines of united outreach among the nations. Outreach, I don't know, mission, something along those lines. I think you guys get my point, but I'm sorry for that. You can connect with us on Facebook if you're on Facebook. You can also connect with us on email, and I'm going to pass around a clipboard. It has some of our prayer cards attached to it. If you don't have one of our prayer cards, go ahead and take one of those. If you don't do email, but you would still like to hear from us, fill out the other half of the prayer card, tear it in half, you keep the picture, and then you give me the other part that you filled in, so like your mailing address. And a couple times a year, we send out an actual physical mailing that basically sums up what we're doing, so those who are not on the internet, on the social networks, they will also hear from us and know about what God is doing in our lives and in the hearts and lives of those that we're ministering to. So I'm going to pass these around. You guys can fill them out as I'm speaking, and then at some point, the last people to get them this morning, if you can bring them back to me or just take them back downstairs, put them on the display table. Either way, it's fine with me. And if we run out of prayer cards, I have more downstairs. I just put a little bit because the clipboards get awkward if there's too many on there. And so some of you might be wondering why it's just me here today. And the reason for that is, well, it's a little pricey to fly six people up for Costa Rica. And I'm only here for three short weeks. And our kids are enrolled in school in Costa Rica. And so to remove them from school is a lot of work to get them caught up. And so we just sent me up this time. Peter and I typically take turns coming back to visit with churches, attend, like I was at the annual gathering last week. And so it's just a great way to connect with everybody, with the churches, with our supporters, with new people, make new friends. This is our family. The family, all of our children are growing. I am soon to be the shortest one in the family. I know it. So, in the picture there, the tall, handsome guy in the back, that's Peter. If you've not met him, that's my wonderful husband. So, he's at home trying to hold down the home front with the four kids and do work at the same time. In front of Peter is our oldest daughter. Her name is Elizabeth. She is almost 17 years old, and she is in her senior year of high school this year. And so she is looking forward to coming back next fall to start college and get her college degree and start being an independent adult. And right now her top college pick is Mount Vernon Nazarene University. So if you all wouldn't mind joining me in praying that that is where God wants her to be, because I'd be very happy knowing that she was at that college and surrounded by our Ohio family, which is, you all are a part of that family. To the left of my husband, that's me. And to the left of me is our oldest son, Nathaniel. He is 13 years old. He is in seventh grade. And he's in the midst of the beginning teenage years. So if you've had children, you know what I'm talking about. But he's doing well. He's a sweetheart. He just has his teenage moments. And then the two little ones in front, that's Samuel and Eliana. Samuel he's 11. He'll be 12 in January. He is in fifth grade. And he is loving learning how to play soccer with all the his Costa Rican friends. Because if you know anything about soccer or Latin America, you know that soccer is their number one sport. It's almost like no other sport exists other than soccer. And so he is having a blast playing soccer with his friends during recess at school and on Saturday mornings with the soccer club. And then Eliana, our youngest, she is 8, and she is in first grade, and she's just a sweetheart. She's just a ball of joy. She brings joy everywhere she goes, and she loves to make people laugh. Schooling-wise for our kids, our oldest, Elizabeth, she is enrolled in an online U.S. private homeschool school. And she enjoys that, and she's learned Spanish despite being at home so much. She has a desire to learn Spanish, so that has helped her, and we've also gotten her tutoring, so she was able to learn the grammar and really fine-tune her Spanish skills. The younger three, they are enrolled in a bilingual school in Costa Rica, and we made the change for them from homeschooling to the bilingual school for a couple reasons. The biggest reason was, in the homeschooling, it was way too easy to isolate them in the house, just because homeschooling four children is a big job, and it takes all day. And so by the time you get through schooling, it's dinner time, and then it's dark. You don't go outside at dark just because it's dark. And sometimes, depending on where you are, it's not safe. And so you have to be mindful of that. But what I mean by not safe is someone might rob you. They're going to want your wallet, or they're going to want your cell phone. So there's no physical danger for our life. It's just for the things you have on your body, your valuables. And so we realized that that wasn't working for them to learn Spanish, to learn the culture, to make friends in Costa Rica. It also limited my ability to minister alongside Peter. And so we made the decision to put them in the bilingual school. And it's been a blessing. It was the right choice to make, because all three of them have learned Spanish fairly well in the past 8 months that they've been in the school system. And they've made friends, and they're very happy in the school. Nathaniel is kind of like this with the school. He enjoys the homeschool aspect, where he can do his work and then he's done, and he can go play, he can go dig in the dirt, he can go play with the dog, you know. But we really wanted him to learn Spanish and to make friends and really feel established in Costa Rica. And it has helped them in that area, and we plan to keep them in that school for the following school year and hopefully the years after that. Two years ago, this coming December, we went to Costa Rica, and which was our first term of service as missionaries with International Ministries. And in that first year, our sole focus was to learn Spanish. So we spent a full year, full calendar year, learning Spanish, 5 days a week. We were in classes for about 4 hours a day, and then depending on how dedicated you were to your homework, you spent an hour to 4 hours doing your homework. And so it was a full-time job, exhausting job, just getting a handle on Spanish. And I say that it was successful because we are able to communicate fairly effectively with the people that we minister with the pastors, with, you know, just doing daily interactions and transactions among the community. And the pictures are just some of the fun pictures that we enjoyed at language school. The one up on the top left is Peter and myself when we first got there. The one on the top right, that is just a building within the language school campus. And on the bottom, on the left, those are our teachers, or were our teachers, because they aren't anymore. And then on the right, that is Peter and myself with what you would call our two favorite teachers. They were the teachers that we really got the closest with. They became like grandparents, grandmas to our children. So it was not just learning language, but it was developing friendships and learning the culture within language school. And it was a hard year, but it was a very blessed year. We didn't just learn Spanish that year, but we learned a whole lot about ourselves that year. And through that, God was able to do a lot of work within us as a person. And through language school, God directed our steps in a different path than where we were expecting when we first got to language school. Because if you heard us speak during our deputation years, you would have remembered, or should remember, that we were originally headed to the Dominican Republic. And halfway through our deputation time, our boss, the area director of Latin America, changed. Previously it was Jose Narat, and now it is Adalia Gutierrez Lee. And Adalia always had hesitation and reservations about sending us to the Dominican Republic. She didn't agree with the reasons that Jose wanted to send us in particular to the Dominican Republic. But we as a family felt that, you know, God was calling us at that time to the Dominican Republic. But it was throughout language school and just personal circumstances that happened, and just God working in His mysterious ways, where halfway through, Adalia approached us and she said, "Our partners in Costa Rica are asking us for missionaries. And I really feel that this will be a better fit for your gifts and talents, that God will be able to use you more here. And I want you to consider changing your country of location." And we had not been felt called away from the DR and the ministry, even though we knew it was going to be hard, it would be a difficult transition for us. So we, just to appease Adalia, we said, "We'll pray about it and we'll let you know." And we were with her for a couple days, and every time she saw us, she mentioned it again. And she mentioned it again. And so it was, so Peter and I, at the end of those 2 days, was like, "We really need to pray about, you know, really seriously pray about this and consider this." Because she was very insistent. And there was something in her insistence about it that touched our hearts, that maybe God is changing our direction. And we just weren't noticing it before. And so we prayed about it. We talked with our spiritual mentors or directors about it. And we also met the Costa Rican Baptist that we would work with if we changed countries. And it was just every step we took, there was another moment of confirmation from God that this is where I am directing you now. And even as we are here, well, I'm not in Costa Rica, but as we are in Costa Rica working in ministry, there's little bits and pieces of confirmation that we know are coming from God that this is where God wants us, that Costa Rica is the country, this is where He wants us ministering right now. And perhaps one day in the future, the DR will come back around and we will go there and we'll be able to minister there. And so as my slide says, I don't know if you guys can read the text up there. I apologize if you can't. It says, we make our plans, but God is the one who directs our steps. And that is so true. We can have what we think is the perfect plan. We have it laid out step by step, and we think it's just perfect. But God can come in, and He can redirect it. He can change it completely. And it turns out better than we ever thought it would. And so this is what is happening with our life with ministry in Costa Rica. And I just want to share with you Proverbs 16, verse 9, one of the verses that Ivy read for us. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And I want to share a little bit about the ministry that we do. We are ministering to pastors and their spouses and their families as a whole. So it's kind of like a family ministry. We also minister to seminary students or anyone who is feeling a call to ministry. And that is an important one that I'm going to talk about a little bit more later on. And we do this through a lot of it through teaching, either through theological or spiritual direction teaching, through preaching, through seminars. We do a lot of mentoring with the pastors and with their spouses. Prayer is a big one. Everything is covered in prayer. And the pastors, the Baptist pastors that we work with, they get together once a month, every month throughout the year. They've been doing this for a couple years now. And they get together. One of them shares a teaching of what God's teaching him and his life and his walk with God, or something that they initiated in their church and it was received well, and they share it with one another. And then they always end in a time of prayer, and there's always fellowship, and there's always coffee, and there's always food. And so it's a wonderful time, and it's a blessing to see the pastors getting together, working together, and praying and seeking God's kingdom together. And it's our prayer that through our ministry, that hearts and minds will be changed and that people will grow into the image of Christ. Just a quick story about one of the pastors that we work with. His name is Jose Antonio, and he has not had or he has not taken a family vacation in more than 10 years. And a few years ago, his wife was fighting cancer, and then there was a church split that happened amidst this. And through that church split, the church cut his salary in half. Now, granted, he wasn't even receiving a full-time salary at that, but he's working full-time hours within the church. And his dedication to the ministry that God has called him to is just incredible, that he has stuck through the church faithfully, through his personal struggles, through the church struggles, and God is blessing him and his family through that dedication. And it is just, it's incredible to talk to him because he has such joy and such enthusiasm for ministry and for Jesus and for the people in his community. I think they do still do it every day, but at the lunch hour, they feed the local school kids. Any of them who want to come, anyways. It's an open lunch, and they feed them lunch free of charge, and they'll talk about Jesus, so they use it as an evangelism tool. And it's been great for the church. They've seen a little bit of growth out of it, but it's been good for the personal spiritual walk for the people within his church that are doing this ministry, that they've grown and they've been blessed out of giving back to the community because they live and the church is in a very poor community. Raising up the next generation. This is going to become the focus, the main focus of our teaching with the pastors beginning now. We have, throughout ministering this past year, we have realized that, or God has shown us that there is a generational gap among the pastors in Costa Rica. And I know that this is all over the world, but because this is where we are ministering, this is what God is showing us. that there are no younger pastors being trained to be pastors, desiring to be pastors, or hearing the call to be a pastor. And the majority of the pastors are in their 50s or 60s or 70s, and they're looking to retire from pastoral ministry, you know, in the next 5 to 10 years. The majority of them are, or probably all of them, are bivocational, and so they pastor, and then they have another job that they do, which also can cause a huge imbalance among balancing family time and balancing the job, because they want to provide for their family, but yet they want to spend time with their family, and they're torn between the two, and they're just learning how to balance that. And just this 2 weekends ago, we had a friend come in, and he taught on this topic, and it was very well received. So it'll be interesting to hear the fruits of that seminar that the pastors attended and see how God has worked in that area in their lives when I get back. But anyway, back to raising up the next generation. We are all called to a specific ministry, every single one of us, not just pastors aren't the only ones who are called to minister. Each and every single one of us are called to a specific ministry, whether it's being a pastor, whether it's being in the nursery with the little kids, teaching Sunday school, whether it's just sharing the gospel with everyone we meet. You know, there's a ministry for everyone. If it's cooking for the homeless, serving at the homeless shelter, if it's sewing blankets for a certain ministry, there's so many ministries out there, and the Lord calls each one of us to a specific ministry. And the Lord has been calling people up into specific ministry from the beginning. From the beginning, He called Abram out of Ur. He called Moses out of Egypt. And as we all very well know, He called the 12 disciples to come alongside and learn from Him and to do ministry. And we can't forget the conversion story of Paul and the ministry that he was able to do through the Lord, with the Lord's help. Within Costa Rica, there are 29 churches within the Baptist Federation that we directly work with. And praise God that right now each one of those churches has a pastor. That is something to praise God for, because in January of this year, there were 5 or 6 churches without pastors. And they were very unsure of how they were going to fill these positions. And God provided. And within the Federation, there are also 9 mission churches. And that's their term for them. But I would, in U.S. terms, it's a church plant. It's a sister church. And what they do is they somehow, God gives them land or gives them a building, and they go in and they plant a church. They start a church. And all the pastors work together, they pool, you know, their resources, either their preaching abilities or their music ministry teams, whatever the needs are that aren't filled in that church, they provide that every weekend. And it's a rotating schedule, so it's not just one church providing all the needs to the mission church every weekend. It's a community project among the Baptist churches. And it's really neat to see how God has used these mission churches to spur passion for missions within the churches, within the pastors. And they've even sent out a couple Costa Rican Christians to Africa as missionaries, and they financially support them. And it's really incredible. Let me see. Hopefully, all my transitions stayed. They did. Okay. So what you're going to see while I share another story or two, these are just pictures of our life, our ministry, the pastors, just the people we work with, the people we love on, the people we share Christ with. That's a picture from our home church. Those are pastors we work with. And I'm not going to talk about any of them unless I glance over and just feel spurred to share something. But you guys can watch them and listen to me as I talk. If you have questions afterwards, remember them, write them down. I'm happy to answer them downstairs when we're having lunch. And so I want to share with you all the story about Pastor Marvin. He pastors a church up along the Pacific Coast, which is from the San Jose area, which is the capital, and it's pretty center of the country. It's about a 3 or 4 hour bus ride to where his church is. Now, he doesn't live in San Jose, nor does he live in the town where the church is. He lives about in between. So he takes the bus up every weekend, and it's a 2 hour bus ride. And he goes to that church, and he ministers to the members in that church. Now, really an amazing story with this church. There was a long-term pastor there. I forget how many years he'd been there, but him and his wife have lived in the parsonage for years, and they ministered there. And the pastor ended up getting sick, and he passed away. And his wife stayed in the parsonage with their daughter. They continued living there because the church said that they could live there as long as they needed. And they would just have someone come and fill in every Sunday morning to preach the word. And then, until Marvin came along, and he felt called to minister to this community, to this church, and he became their pastor. And there's been an agreement among Marvin and the church members and the former pastor's wife that she can stay in that parsonage basically till she dies, or till she, you know, she can no longer live on her own. So if she needs to go to assisted living, she has the freedom to stay there. And that is such a huge blessing for her, because if she was kicked out of the parsonage, she would have nowhere to go. She would be forced to live on the streets. And so it's a blessing to see the compassion that they have for her and the love that they have for her. And she takes care of that church. That church is like her baby. She takes care of it. She's constantly monitoring it. And so it's really neat to see how both the church and her, they work together, they bless each other, and they have a great relationship. And she has actually become, Marvin termed it, my adopted mother. That's how close they've become in just a few short years that they've known each other. And they're both sweethearts. Now, the other thing I want to share with you is that Marvin also has some major health issues. He has an issue with his heart. He has an issue with his back. And apparently in the past few weeks, or past month or so, his health issues have gotten worse, where making that two-hour bus trip for the weekend, and he'll stay two nights or so, it's beginning to get too much for him. And when the other pastors of the Federation found out about this, they made the decision, and they told Pastor Marvin, one Sunday every month, one of us are going to be coming up to your church, and we will give the word. We will be preaching. And so you will have one Sunday every month to rest. And he was just blown away by that kindness. And, you know, the pastors don't request, you know, financial compensation for making that four-hour trip up to his church, or, you know, being paid as the guest minister. They do it out of the love for sharing Jesus Christ with the community. Now, the other interesting thing about this church is that they have no bathrooms in the church. It's really just the church sanctuary. It's a small chapel of a building, but there's no bathrooms that anyone could use. And so legally, they are not allowed to open their doors Sunday morning until they have the bathrooms built. And they're starting, but it's going to be a slow process because they have to raise their own funds to do it, and then they have to get people to build the bathrooms. And so what Marvin has been doing is, whether they meet at the front steps or they meet over at the parsonage, I wasn't too clear on that part, but they still gather. And what he does is he's teaching them evangelism tools. And so he'll do a little teaching on that. And they live right on the town square. And so right across the street is this huge, beautiful park. And there's always a ton of people there. And so what they do is they will learn. And then they will put into practice what they are learning that morning and what they've learned previously. So they're going out Sunday morning and they're telling other people about Jesus and the love that Jesus can offer us. And it's just amazing that they're not going to allow the government to keep them from meeting and to sharing Christ's love. They are continuing to meet, they are continuing to learn, and they are going out and sharing the gospel. And that pretty much sums up everything about that. But it's just truly amazing to see their dedication and their hard work and how they go and they serve others, not just within their four walls of their church, but they will serve each other's churches. They were always hearing about that pastor went to this pastor's church Sunday morning just to preach. And the churches are wonderful, are good in this, you know, the church leadership, and that they support this. They recognize and they see the good of allowing their pastor to be able to go to the mission church or go to one fellow pastor's church and to be able to preach there and to be able to share. And so it's really becoming like a community ministry among the churches. And there's another pastor, his name is Marvin as well, and I want to just share briefly with you that we had him and his wife over to our house for dinner just to get to know them better one day. And we were shocked by what they told us. And it was that they never go out and hang out with friends. That this has been the first time in years that they can remember going over to someone else's house and just sharing food and just sharing time and just having a nice time. And the reason they shared with us that that doesn't happen is because they're working all the time. There's no time for playtime. There's no time for free time because in order to provide for their family, both him and his wife are working two or three jobs. And so it was very meaningful to us that they would take that time, which was probably just a free evening that they would have spent together at home, resting, watching a movie or something, but they took their free time to come and spend it with us. So not only were they blessed, but we were blessed. And it's just, in doing ministry, that's one thing I've always been amazed by God with, is that it's not just the receiver who is blessed. A lot of times the giver is blessed more than the receiver. And, you know, that's just how God works. And so that was a picture. That's our last picture. That is the group of pastors who attended the seminar 2 weekends ago about finding balance between family and ministry. And it was I got to spend the first evening with them, and Peter and I were able to share a little bit on calling, hearing God's calling, and we were able to share our testimonies with them. And so it was just a very blessed time. And it was also good for us because that was the first time we'd ever been able to use our Spanish language in a setting like that, and really in a truly teaching setting in front of people. And it was a good confidence boost for us with our Spanish, because some days we feel good about our level, and then there's other days where it's like we feel like we don't even know how to answer what's your name. It's par for the course. Language learning it's just a whole different ballgame. The ways that you can be involved. The first way is through prayer. We covet your prayers. Ivy and Emerson covet your prayers as well. Any of the missionaries. If there's any missionaries that God has truly laid on your heart, please remember to pray for them every month, because those prayers truly help to sustain us and carry us through, keep moving forward day by day. For us personally, if you feel led to financially support us, we would be truly blessed by that, because our support has gone down over the past 2 years, and we are down to 78%. And so we are looking for new monthly supporters, new churches to bring us on put us in their budget. If you're interested in that piece, talk to me. If you were moved by what Ivy and Emerson said and you would like to support their ministry financially, talk to them after sometime today. Another way to be involved is short-term mission trips. There are lots of needs from any aspect. Just because we teach and we work with the pastors doesn't mean that any short-term mission trip that comes down to work with us has to do a teaching seminar for the pastors. No, there are lots of physical building needs to the churches. If you were watching the pictures, you probably could tell some of the needs just based on the pictures. There's lots of physical structure needs. And what is great about the Baptist Federation is they make sure that the churches are raising their funds for those building needs. And if a team comes down, they make sure that they have a certain number of their church members or someone skilled in that area working alongside the short-term missionaries to complete that project or get it started, whatever it is. And so it's always a group effort to get that project done. It's not just Americans coming down with money and giving money and building it and then leaving and then that's it. The Costa Ricans, they want to be involved. And it's an excellent thing because that gives them ownership of what was accomplished with the short-term missionaries and with us. The other thing you can do is you can share our ministry. And again, if you're moved by what Ivy and Emerson are doing, share their ministry with other folks. And get them on fire for missions. Because you never know what God's going to do with the seed that you plant in somebody's life, talking about Jesus or talking about missions, or I met this missionary or this missionary came and shared at my church Sunday morning and this is the ministry they're doing. You never know how God's going to use that. So always follow that prompting in your spirit to share what God has put on your heart with others. And I want to thank you for having me here this morning, for inviting me to share. It is a pleasure and a joy to be with you all this morning. And I look forward to lunch and chatting with you all some more. And again, if you have questions, please ask questions. Because if you don't ask, you'll never have an answer to your question. You'll always be wondering. And so ask those questions. So thank you so much, and God bless you all.
Thank you, Sarah, for sharing with us, and Emerson and Ivy also. It's always inspiring to listen as missionaries tell their stories, and it is good for us to consider our commitment and our part in the support of missionaries and in the missionary work. And so as we sing a hymn of dedication, which is one of my favorite hymns, "It Is Well With My Soul," prayerfully consider what your part is. Shall we stand together and sing? I would just want to reiterate the invitation to come downstairs with us after the benediction and after the benediction response and join us for lunch. We look forward to that opportunity. Thank you again for sharing with us. I want to make sure everyone knows that you do need an elevator to get down the steps. It's just at the end of the hall. And we would be glad for you to have that opportunity. And it doesn't matter how long it takes to get everybody downstairs, because we're not in a hurry. Shall we pray? Lord, we are grateful to have been here today in this place amongst your people. We thank you for the opportunity that we are going to have to share fellowship and food. But we also pray that when we leave, we would go filled up with your Spirit, filled up with love and grace and peace. In Christ's name, amen.